Hello everyone, and welcome to NDA's Antitrust Podcast. I am Vinay, a leader of the antitrust practice, and I will be the guide for your journey into antitrust today. This podcast and subsequent video series is NDA's attempt at bridging the gap between strategy and antitrust compliance through research, conversation with experts, and most importantly, thought leadership. Today, we'll be discussing the use of algorithms in e-commerce and antitrust issues that may arise from it. The structure of the podcast is that first, I will introduce what algorithms are being used for or what they're capable of from an e-commerce perspective. And in the second leg, I'll delve into how competition authorities have looked into or dealt with the limited number of cases where competition issues relating to the use of algorithms have come up. We'll also be discussing the insights which are to be gained from these issues and which could be used to instruct strategy. So to begin, we can get into what algorithms are being used for by the e-commerce businesses. Algorithms, to put it very simply, are formulae and if this then that scenarios which are used by the businesses to make certain predictions. There are obviously various ways in which these permutations can be employed to achieve set goals. E-commerce businesses use it broadly to ascertain three things. First is the market conditions, that is the supply and demand for a product prevalent in a market at a given time. The second is to determine price. And consequently, the third and the last is to determine what will be an appropriate offer for the consumers. Algorithms are becoming increasingly sophisticated in autonomously making pricing decisions based on the available demand and supply in the market. To understand this, in layman's term, let's take the most commonplace example of Uber and other ride-hailing services. What these apps do is to take into account the demand for cabs and the supply of drivers in a place at any given time and automatically set the prices. With the result, it's cheaper to hail a cab on a normal day than say New Year's Eve, which is a relatively busy day. How this is different from previous price setting models which were run manually is that where pricing mechanisms driven by human would be relatively static and hunch based, pricing algorithms are more dynamic because of the increasing ability of companies to collect and process big data with their help. Now, what is meant by big data here is that these algorithms are able to process large amounts of data in real time. So in that way, they are much more accurate in their price setting than what was possible by manually crunching numbers. These changes in pricing can also be given effect with much more speed than traditional brick and mortar retailers. That is, it can respond much faster to market demand and supply than if it were to be done in a brick and mortar setup. To illustrate the difference, it was observed that in November last year, the time leading up to the holiday season in the US, Amazon made about 2.5 million changes in prices per day, while its brick and mortar competitor Walmart made about 50,000 in the entire month. So to sum up, in two aspects, that is accuracy and pace or speed, price setting algorithms offer dynamic alternatives to traditional mechanisms. Another interesting aspect of how algorithms are used by e-commerce businesses is in their search feature. Even here, they are able to process vast amounts of data to optimize search results to respond to how to perceive purchase behavior, preferences, or demand. This data collected may be specific to a particular consumer or it may relate to current market trends. And based on this process data, the platform will rank different options in its search results. This search ranking algorithm is what may have been referred to as the black box nature of algorithms. Interestingly, the CCI in its market study on e-commerce in India acknowledge the role of algorithms in studying the market and fixing prices. While they did not make any explicit allusions to algorithmic collusion or any antitrust issues potentially arising out of the issues of algorithms, what it did acknowledge was that the black box nature of algorithms can potentially hamper consumer choice. black box term is being used generally here because of the mystic nature of how algorithms work. The average consumer might not be even aware what variables play a part in a certain result being ranked above others in their searches. Now, this can potentially hurt the consumer's right to exercise free choice, or rather free will, on an e-commerce platform. The problem also arises when the platform themselves begin to compete with the retailers they host in which case they may have an edge or a head start in developing their own products because they are privy to how their algorithm works or what data their algorithm picks up. This enables them to simultaneously serve the function of a platform and to develop their products. For example, let's take Amazon. Amazon is an e-commerce platform that also makes its own products. Now, you may have come across products like Amazon Basics and the like. At one level, Amazon as a platform has the ability to push its own product over others. Additionally, this also works at another level where Amazon is able to collect and process data on other retailers' products. Now, whatever products or features are preferred by consumers is what Amazon starts replicating under its Amazon Basics or other brands. This can be understood as Amazon simultaneously being a host site for retailers and developing its own products on the basis of how other retailers perform. What this does is give Amazon an edge over its competitors because of its position as both an intermediary as well as a competitor. Another aspect of algorithms in e-commerce is where a dominant platform can potentially exclude its own products from competing on the same factors as other products. Now, okay, so this is one case, but what's the big deal, right? Why are the newspapers filled with antitrust cases regarding algorithmic collusion or algorithms these days? In order to delve deeper into this, let's now go through different cases regarding algorithms and how have different regulators looked into it. In the February decision of the CCI in the aviation cartel case, the CCI held that the price fixing cartels, irrespective of the mode in which they are operationalized, are considered anti-competitive. In an investigation into cartels, authorities try to locate a pattern or stability in prices over its period of investigation, which was in this case about from 2010 to 2016. So the CCI analyzed the monthly and the annual market share as well as the annual growth rate of the airlines under investigation. It also undertook economic analysis of its monthly rates. More relevant to the present discussion, it also undertook a detailed analysis of various softwares being utilized by the companies for fixing rates. While most airlines use the same set of software to arrive at prices, the factors, variables which they entered into the software were determined by the company's revenue management team. The DG noted that these input factors varied from airline to airline. It also noted that these factors, as well as the final price, is determined by the revenue management team. This team also determines which seats or prices are to be made available at what time, giving regard to current events, like for example, IPL matches or cultural events that cannot be foreseen by the software. The DG noted that prices may become highly competitive closer to the departure date time. While these observations were made by the DG could not find any fixed pattern to pricing, there being several competitive and inventory-related factors that went into determination of the prices. The commission, relying on the DG's report, seemed to place emphasis on the human element played by the revenue management teams in price determination. However, due to the presence of price transparency in a given market, it is not inconceivable that algorithms can arrive at similar prices independently without any intention of collusion, tacit or explicit. The existence of varied prices in this case precluded the CCI from delving deep into whether this would amount to an anti-competitive conduct. However, we'll have to wait and see whether the CCI would find anti-competitive conduct in cases where the same software is used to arrive at parallel prices without any prior agreement or tacit understanding among the parties. In a similar case, which was in relation to price algorithm of Lufthansa, a similar fact pattern was looked into by the German competition authority. It was noted by them that whether the prices were arrived by human intervention or via algorithm softwares, it was not particularly relevant. The purpose of competition law, especially with respect to price competition, is not to regulate the prices. It simply ensures that the prices are arrived at interdependently and not via prior agreement or collusion. Competition authorities are mindful of not throttling efficiencies in resource allocation achieved by fair price competition. What competition law does penalize is anti-competitive conduct, and the focus usually is not on the outcome. To put it simply, parallel prices arrived as a result of competition is not penalized. Instead, what is penalized is an agreement to collude on prices. Keeping this in mind, there are principally the issue of algorithmic collusion that generally comes up. Theoretically, as discussed before, it is possible that self-learning algorithms operating in a market, learning through experience and making autonomous decisions, are capable of arriving at apparently collusive price outcomes without any human intervention or intent of collusion. However, some scholars have pointed out that given the complexity of markets, that is, a market that is generally having more than two competing firms, the potential of a price collusion, independent of any actual communication between the algorithms or firms, is quite illusory. While it cannot be ruled out, the current state of art may not permit such independent or accidental collusion activity. It is much more likely that algorithms can act as a tool to facilitate collusion among intending parties. A common form of collusion is a hub and spoke arrangement. A hub and spoke arrangement here refers to a center and spokes of a wheel. So imagine a wheel with a supplier or a platform at its center. The spokes are the retailers who source their product from the common supplier or sell their product on the same platform. In such an arrangement, communication occurs bilaterally between the common hub, that is the common supplier of the platform, and its spokes, which is the retailers. The spokes may not be communicating at all amongst each other. The cartelization or the collusion in this arrangement is facilitated by the hub or supplier or the platform. This kind of cartelization in e-commerce occurred in a case involving the Lithuanian travel booking site eTuras. The administrator of the website had communicated instructions relating to price to all its travel agents. The European Court of Justice found eTuras as well as its agents in the wrong, even when the agents were not coordinating amongst each other per se. So as we have noticed, there have been different cases and different regulators have looked at algorithms differently. But to summarize, algorithms are powerful tools for e-commerce firms for price determination as well as search rankings. In other words, they help e-commerce businesses in making the right offer to a customer. Competition authorities are not preoccupied in the form or outcome of such technology, but they are vigilant of new ways in which these algorithms may become facilitators of anti-competitive conduct.